you know, I like I said, I'm tired of no one ever standing up and just fucking saying, fucking enough. Enough. Man, Jesus, you know? How about, can we just play some fucking music? Can we just fucking hear some music?
Proceed then to adventurously explore Amorica, the third album by the Crows released on American Recordings. Chaos erupted over the controversial cover of this 1994 album, depicting a shot of a woman's barely covered crotch complete with pubic hair. The G-string the girl is barely wearing is, upon closer scrutiny, actually the Stars and Stripes. Offensive sexism, or as the boys call it, a statement about America, the duality, the freedom, the hang-ups. Some shops came heavily down on the side of the former and refused point blank to stock it. Chris mounted a creative defence to this piece of typical Bible Belt narrow-mindedness, stating that the band saw it almost as a McDonald's logo. Apparently seeing it as purely a sexual image means you're missing the political point. They welcome the parental guidance stickers on their LPs, however, rather than cursing them, not only for boosting record sales positively, but also by choosing to take them as recognition of their subversive rather than indecent leanings. One thing is for sure, inside the packaging is bold, dangerous, freewheeling and liberating music, shot through with blues, soul and gospel, coupled with lyrics that provocatively get inside complex, disturbing emotions. One particular song title sums it all up, Non-Fiction. Amorica is a place you won't find on the map, but it's located somewhere north of hell and south of heaven. And some of its inhabitants, to borrow imagery scattered throughout the album, are dilated and burned, lost in headlights all night long, and they're unafraid to experience love and fear at the same time. They're sinning and descending. They're rebellious, combative and moody, and they have wisdom in their rage. Finally, they may be lonely, but they're proud, ready to experience the beauty and the ugliness. They suffer, but they get cleansed too. It's where the band wants to be and where they want to live, while in reality being stuck in America. That's the inspiration for the title Amorica. The Crows were born Americans, and as much as there is to love about it, there's a lot of things to fear. Amorica comes across as being a fearless place and encourages its listeners to be fearless too. The implication seems to be that it's this very fear which drives them to dig around and find the diamond in this huge coal mine, the tools being their music. On Amorica, the Crows set these volatile stories against their most heady mix to date. The overall sound of these songs, all written by Chris and Rich, is free-flowing, intense and textural, all of it sprung from the band's intensified exploration of rhythm. This album sees the Black Crows branching out yet wider in their musical eclecticism. Listen to the sudden and dynamic rhythmic shifts in Gone, A Conspiracy, P25 London and Head High Blues, the latter utilising some Latin rhythms. A percussive storm is supplied by Eric Bobo, noted for his work with Cypress Hill. There's also an acoustic blues foray, Downtown Money Waster, and country tinges in Wiser Time, where Rich Robinson's dobro is mated with the pedal steel of Bruce Caffan from American Music Club. Their growth as musicians can also be heard in the songs where the tempos are slowed down. Ballad in Urgency, Non-Fiction, Cursed Diamond and Descending. It's on these songs where you get to hear more clearly the unique and subtle magic of the combined talents of Chris Robinson, Rich Robinson, Mark Ford, Steve Gorman, Johnny Colt and Eddie Harsh. As we all know, anyone can go in there and make noise and solo. Here we are made aware more than ever before on a Crows record that it's more interesting to give each band member space and let the music breathe. Knowing when not to play in a song is often cited by musicians as being one of the hardest things to learn. Here, the Black Crows demonstrate that they have indeed learnt the lesson of the masters. As always, the Crows have a proud connection to the legacy of traditional American music forms, an organic outgrowth of their own Southern heritage. There's a down-to-earth reality about the South. It's not fake, and it's rich in history too. With this heritage, each band member is a musical scholar without ever having studied music formally. They all have a genuine love of music. They listen to all types of music, they study it, and in many ways have devoted their lives to it. Enhanced by their collaboration in production for Amorica with Jack Joseph Puig, Rich Robinson confirms that the group explored different kinds of rhythms, even more so than on the band's first two albums, 1990's Shake Your Moneymaker and 1992's The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion, which combined has sold over 10 million albums worldwide. It's easy to forget that the Crows are still a relatively young band, still in the process of growing. Their refusal to be part of the industry machine means that they are also able to go on learning and continue to find deeper resources of soul music through which to express themselves. Amorica was recorded over a six-month period, a creative and prolific time for the group. Over two dozen songs were recorded. The first batch make up Amorica, with the rest being considered for possible release in the future. The previous album had been recorded in 7 days, and with Amorica, the band went to the other extreme, recording over a matter of months. This sums up the Crows' attitude. They have always prided themselves on their diversity of approaches and will always do whatever is necessary for them to be happy with the final result at any time. There's no set blueprint to being creative for the Crows. The Black Crows have created their own space to grow. They operate in their own area and don't just fit in, existing as they do on their own musical patch, a place free of musical limitations. And you might say that in certain instances, this has cost them some automatically trendy career opportunities. But then this is a band built to last. It always has been. If success has bought them anything, it is a bizarre sort of courage. They possess a fanatical devotion to being who they are and doing what they do without the restriction of having too many rules. And as long as it continues to feel like a source of inspiration, as well as a source of desperation at times to work in this way, they plan to be out there doing their thing. This fearlessness has kept the Crows vital. They've been vocal about keeping rock and roll free of corporate sponsorship, and they didn't keep silent when they saw legendary bands use sampling on stage. They weren't being arrogant, they were fighting for the spirit of rock and roll, wanting to keep it free of synthetic sludge. The remix of the remix of the remix syndrome. And when, for example, the industry advised them to play arenas as a headline act, they said no and played theatres instead. It was not a ploy for publicity, one that many other bands have cleverly used since. They have always argued it as being purely a musical decision, not ruling out the concept of the arena circuit, but feeling the time was not right. They've even been heard expressing the view upon occasion that they felt they might not have been good enough to play in arenas. However, Rich has been quoted as saying lately that it's something you have to grow into. I think we're ready now.